Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
So I spent the weekend in St. Louis. I grew up a St. Louis Blues fan. Listen, I love our Flyers. I do. And I've even worked for the organization with the Phantoms. And you know, we're friends with players on the team. But listen, I had been cheering for the Blues since I was 5 years old. My earliest memories were, you know, of a player named Gary Unger, who was my favorite when I was a little kid. And so I had to go for this very first Stanley Cup victory in franchise history. So got a last-minute ticket, went to St. Louis, met up with my best friend and his family, and we went to the parade.
How could you not?
I had to go.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. It was such a great time. And there is a Philadelphia connection to this victory, and you guys all know about it, you know, with Jack's MYB, and I met up with those guys while I was there, too, and I felt the Philly presence all around St. Louis, too, especially with the Chief on stage holding the cup up in the air, former Flyer, head coach of the St. Louis Blues, Craig Berube.
Yeah!
This morning. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. Listen, we spoke to you after you guys made it in the final round of the playoffs into the Stanley Cup Championship. We had a chance to talk for a few minutes, and that was really cool. And I didn't know if we'd be talking championship afterwards, and sure enough, it happened. So I just told the short story, but I was there, man. I came out for the parade. It was so much fun, and it was great to see you beaming the way that you were on stage, holding the cup on the parade route, and it had to, was it everything you dreamed it would be?
Oh, yeah, and more for sure, you know. It's a great feeling for sure. Like, you're just so happy for the city and our players, and, you know, that's, as a coach, that's what I feel anyhow. But, I mean, I'm obviously happy that I was part of it. But to see all those fans and what a turnout. And just to see our players, how excited and happy they are, and what they went through to win, like, it's tough. It's not an easy thing to do.
And, no.
You know, I've been to the finals, and I know what it's kind of like as a player, but it's crazy how hard it is.
You know what? And what's funny, my perspective, Craig, was that they – you know, I go in and I see the Flyers play and I watch the games, and these guys on the ice, they look like men to me. They look like really big, very talented men. But for this day, they were kids, man.
Yeah.
They seem like just fellas, dudes, I think would be the right word. Was it?
Yeah, they definitely, you know, once it's all over and you win, you know, you let loose and you're just having fun now, you know.
And they seem so young, you know.
Well, they are young, most of them. I mean, there's only, you know, we got maybe, I don't know, I think two, maybe three guys in their 30s, maybe three.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of the guys are pretty young, you know. They're anywhere from 22 to 26 is probably our average age on our team.
We're looking at a picture here, and they obviously built this incredible arch for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just impressive.
Yeah, I took a picture from the, we got a hotel room right by the, you know, the staging grounds on the grounds of the arch, and I took a picture of the crowd down there, and it was just impressive to see all those people out there the way they were, you know?
Oh, it was for sure. I was kind of blown away, honestly, just going through the whole parade and the people and how crazy it is and cheering and how many people. It's unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievable.
I don't know if you had even had time to think about your legacy in the city of St. Louis. You know, being a Philadelphian, we wanted a Super Bowl here for the longest time and it didn't happen. And then, you know, the Eagles hired Doug Peterson, and a lot of people scratched their heads. And then, lo and behold, Doug Peterson brings the city first Super Bowl. And so nobody in the history of the rest of the world will ever be able to do what you did, which is bring the first Stanley Cup to St. Louis. Has that sunk in for you yet?
I don't know. I honestly don't think about it like that. But, I mean, I know I'm part of, you know, the first Stanley Cup in St. Louis, which is a great feeling for sure. And, you know, anytime you're part of something first, you know, it's going to go down in history, you know? So I look at it, I'm part of the team, you know, I'm the head coach, but I just view it as part of the club and, just like everybody else. So, I mean, it's a great feeling, no doubt, guys, but, you know, I'm just enjoying it right now.
Cool. When are they going to scrub interim head coach and make it official head coach of the St. Louis Blues? Because I think you earned it.
I don't want. I just want to be interim.
Yeah, less pressure. I think. Yeah, remember the when you renegotiate. Remember all this that'll be the deal. But I mean, it is something, you know. Obviously, Casey brought up the Eagles and how fantastic that was. Speak comfort to us in Philadelphia, and I mean, it also provides, you know, us with you know. Listen, we have a great team here, and there's every possibility, but. From your point of view, you know, what can you impart to us about, you know, how you never count a team out?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty impressed by our team to go through January, February, and March. And first of all, just those months in general are the hardest months in the NHL, in my opinion, because you have so many teams fighting to get into the playoffs. It's the hardest hockey that goes on throughout the season. And we were on the road for 2.5 months. And it was incredible to watch our team win hockey games night after night. It was incredible. And for me, it all boils down to character and leadership is the biggest key. And I believe that in all sports. But you got to have good character. You got to have good leadership. And it may take some time for that to come out and be put in the right place on the ice. And that's part of coaching, is to get that out of your players and to get them to lead in the right way and, you know, the character and all that. And so everybody's part of it, and they all have a piece of it. But that was a grind that we had to go through. And to get ourselves, we ended up with 99 points. Pretty good season. Where we were. That's a lot of winning in a few months, short months, you know.
Yeah.
So it was impressive. It's impressive as I've ever seen in hockey from me personally, that 3 months we went through. And then in the playoffs, I think what really helped us throughout the playoffs is after a loss, we were so tough mentally, and we preached mental toughness most of the time since I took over. That was one of the biggest things about being mentally tough. Our mental toughness was at an all-time high, and we just let things go and moved on. And our goalie was a real example of that for sure.
Yeah.
But that's a big thing. And we did that throughout the playoffs because you have to if you want to be successful, in my opinion.
Now, you mentioned character, but how much of it also is a cheesy 1980s pop song?
Well, you got to have something like that to go along with the story, right?
Yeah. Well, and listen, you know, it was this bizarre Philadelphia connection. That's why part of the reason why I had this wild connection being here in Philadelphia, but I grew up, I'm originally from St. Louis. I grew up there, and this strange connection between the two cities was present everywhere while I was in this week, and I heard people talking about it. Freaking Anheuser-Busch put it on their Bud Light cans.
I saw that, yeah.
It said Gloria, Gloria. It got that big, and that all started here at Jackson, South Philadelphia, and it was just this wild little tendril between these two cities that's kind of joined them together. And believe it or not, Craig, a lot of people were talking about a movie, wanting a movie being made about the team, and that would be a big part of it too, the song and the connection to Philadelphia and all these things. I'm like, the more I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, you went from last to winning the championship. You had this weird little song tied into it. First time in over 50 years. I'm like, that does kind of have the makings for a good movie.
I could see Steve Carell playing Craig Berube.
Steve Carell?
I'm already cool. Casting this movie. This
and I'll play Laura Branigan.
Okay. No, but that song was a big part of this, and you're right. There always needs to be something, some added little thing that threads through it all. But are you kind of sick of hearing the song by now?
Well, to be honest with you, I would never listen to this song, ever. And but, you know, I kind of started to like it.
Yeah,
I think there's every reason to like it now, yeah.
Craig, as a petty Philadelphia fan, not only was I rooting for the Blues, but I was certainly rooting against Boston. And I wanted to point out something on air because interesting slash funny to me to watch Brad Marchand leave the ice with 7 seconds left in the first period and have you guys score that second goal. Did you notice that when that happened, when Marchand was not out there and essentially turned into a brief power play for you guys and you were able to score that very important second goal?
Well, I knew he was out there when we came up with the puck and we were attacking. He was playing defense because he was backing up a defenseman. But that change happened over on the right. I couldn't really see that. He went off the ice. I didn't see that till after when I watched the game and stuff after. So I didn't see that till after. It was kind of a weird play by him for sure. And then obviously Pietrangelo comes in there. He's got a free lane right to the net. And that's a real big goal with 7 seconds to go in the period in the Stanley Cup final game. Huge. I mean, oof, huge goal. Great play by Pietrangelo. And in my opinion, I thought he was the best player on the ice on both teams. I know Bennington had a great first period for us. But I really thought that our captain was our best player on the ice.
Wow.
I got to say, when it comes to the sport of hockey, the players play balls to the wall all the time. And what was impressive to me was that, you know, as the seconds were closing out and the championship was, you know, all but imminent, everybody on that ice was playing. You know, the Boston Bruins were playing as if they can make a comeback, even though they're down 3 goals and there's 30 seconds left. And you're like, dude, it's almost virtually impossible. But they never let up until, you know, the very, very last seconds. And you don't see that a lot in other sports. Like, it just doesn't happen in football, you know, baseball, basketball. Like, when there's a commanding lead as you know, the game's winding down, they just don't, you know, seem to play as hard. In hockey, they do.
Yeah. I mean, there's been goals scored in the Stanley Cup Finals. I know Chicago did it against Boston. They had scored 2 goals in 17 seconds. So things do happen quickly in this game. So, I, you know, it's part of the coach's job. And, you know, the players know you play till the end. That's what they're taught, and that's what we teach. And play hard till the end. And our, you know, I'm glad our guys did, because you got a 4-1 lead. I don't know, like, there was like 2 minutes and something left in the game. I mean, you know, it's just a lot of time still that anything can happen. So don't take a chance.
Hey, Craig, what do you feel about this video of you giving the team a speech in the locker room right before they head out is making its round on social media? I just want to point out, though, before you comment on that, 4 F-bombs, 4 goals. I think there's a connection there. What do you think about that? I mean, you were being very frank. You were speaking the way you speak in a locker room. How do you think about that? What do you think about this video making the rounds?
Well, I mean, I personally, it's hard. I don't like stuff getting out like that. And, you know, what we do in a locker room, for me personally, it's, you know, I like it to stay in there. But, you know, it's part of the game, and you know, the NHL, they want to promote things. So I mean, I'm a direct guy, you know. I don't my players know that, and they know how I, you know, how I'm gonna talk and what we need to do. And you know, I wanted to get them pumped up, ready for the game, and go out hard right away, because it's, you know, we're in a Stanley Cup final game. You know, give it everything you got and go play.
Hey, Herb Brooks was dropping F-bombs right before the U.S. won in 1980, so I think it's
that's right.
I think you're in good company.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's not like everybody hasn't heard it before.
Yeah. Right. Potty mouth means victory.
Yeah, and Herb Brooks' players hated him, and your players love you. So whatever you're doing right. We had Bernie Perrant on the show last week, and he said that he expected Bennington to have a great game on the road. And Bernie was right, and you know, he was talking about Bernie knows goalies. Is there any rhyme or reason as to why Bennington and your entire team, in fact, Craig, played better on the road in the postseason than they did at home?
Yeah, it's a hard one to figure out. You know, all I can really say is, like, I do believe when we're on the road, there's always less distractions for me. But I think just our game and the way we play, we're a way more simpler team on the road. And we play a defense first mentality on the road, which is obviously going to help our goalie. You know, I think at home we try to tend to open things up more and play more of a skill game, and that's not our team. You know, we're a tough team. We grind it out. We play, you know, a hard forecheck and physical style of hockey. And just looking at all the stats and everything throughout the playoffs that I went over, we're just way more physical and hard to play against on the road for some reason. At home, we tend to try to score. It's kind of a weird thing to say, but we try to almost score too much at home, and it goes against us.
Wow. Okay.
We just want you, before we let you go, to reveal any other secrets that you may have for our Flyers who face you next year, if you'd be willing to do that.
The Flyers are going in, they're going to be fine. They're going in the right direction.
Okay.
They are. Seriously, they got a lot of good young players. Young goaltender that's going to be a good goalie. Giroux and Voracek and these guys are still good players.
They're great.
Still produce.
Yeah.
You know, it just takes time sometimes, and it just has to come together at the right time, and then anything can happen, you know. So there's a lot of positive to look forward to, and I'm always rooting for, you know, deep down the Flyers. You know, I love the Flyers,
yeah,
too. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, obviously I got a new home now, but that, you know, I still come here in the off season, and again, I look back at my whole career and guys like Paul Holmgren and Bob Clark, who, you know, did everything for me in my career, from not only a plan but coaching. And I always still have that in my heart and respect those guys and love those guys.
Give our best to Braden Schenn as well. I was happy to see him score a goal in Game 7.
Yeah.
You got it.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it. Craig Berube.
Yay!
Congratulations, and thanks for being on this morning. So, yeah, they did it, man.
Because a win for them is a loss.
No. Well, it's a loss. Yeah, it's a loss for Boston. Thank you. I think they're going to say a win for them is a win for us. I guess it would be.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah.
And it is.
Nobody wanted to see Boston. Nobody around here wanted to see Boston.
No. No. Enough.
It was absolutely enough. I got to throw some love out to Mike Montclavo and Petey and the guys at Jack's NYB, because I met up with them while I was in St. Louis and knew that they were going to be there. The word was they were going to have a float in the parade. Unfortunately, it fell through. I thought it would have been perfect. And I think the crowd would have absolutely loved it, because I'm telling you, man, it was the story everywhere around there. If I mention I was from Philadelphia, people say, oh yeah, you know about this place. And I would either take the time to say, yeah, well, I do a radio show, we had them on, we know who these guys are, but, you know, I just wanted to hear the story from them. I was at the airport getting ready to fly out, and there was nobody else in the restaurant, me and one other table, and that's all these guys were talking about. He's like, yeah, I ran into these guys earlier at the airport this morning. You know the story about this Jack's NYB?
It's very cool.
And they started explaining what mummers were and everything. I was just being a fly on the wall listening to it.
So you've been to two championship parades in less than 2 years. Can you compare the two? I mean, they're very different times of year and different sports, et cetera. But the Eagles parade was massive, and we got to broadcast from it. This was your childhood and your growing up years, and meant something different to you.
Difference is the weather's much better in the summertime.
To be
outside all day, but it was freaking cold at the Eagles parade. But I would say, you know, both had the excitement of first time. So that was the thing they had in common, both of these parades, that everybody couldn't believe this was actually happening. So that was really, really cool. The size, this is a much bigger city than St. Louis, so it was more massive on Philadelphia's, in the scale of in Philadelphia. Although I have to say the view of the arch was a little more impressive.
That's cool.
We're just seeing that that many people in that ground. But the production of the parade route itself, of the way the players were and you know, the team represented, the Eagles did a much better job.
It's also a bigger team, too. You got to keep that in mind. There's,
true,
you know, 50-some
more
players.
More staff, everything.
Well, one thing that any city that wins a championship needs to take note, and I don't know if the Eagles were the first to do this or not, but when we were set up and broadcasting live along the parkway and we saw all those video screens, and then about 3 hours before the parade started, they started showing the game.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Should be done anywhere.
Absolutely brilliant. And I'm surprised that they didn't do that in St. Louis. They didn't have video screens and start playing the game, because that gives people something to do and get just as excited a second time around again for. Because you remember
when they scored,
the crowd was going crazy.
Yes.
And it was so cool.
They did have a guy with a megaphone describing the game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But is this just crowd noise?
It's just crowd noise.
All right.
That took a lot for them to get that here in Philly, and it also had a lot to do with not playing the sound and it being completely rebroadcast in its entirety. So there were some things. So maybe for some reason they couldn't get it done.
Yeah, I don't know. Plus, it rained heavily earlier in the day, too, in St.
Louis.
So that could have been an issue as well. But I would say the production of the Eagles parade was much better because they had those big confetti cannons that were, you know, came out in front of the buses. And
you
got
to have
that all over
confetti,
the place.
It means everything.
And they were cranking up music through the sound system as they were coming through. Now, this was a lot of fun and really, really cool. But
right.
Now, once they got to the actual stage on the grounds of the Arch, that production was a little bit more slick than what they had at the Art Museum, I thought. So it was a little trade-off of each.
Sure, sure. So can you just talk about, like, just your experience getting there? You know, just the idea, like, the thought came into your mind. I don't even know if the thought of going to the parade was your original thought or if somebody in this room planted that seed. Or...
Well, I said it out loud. I'm like, man, I wonder if I could get to the parade. I kind of said it like that. And, Steve,
and then you let it go.
And then Steve just goes, you should. And I go, really?
And then
I wasn't really serious about that, but now let me...
Yeah, you just go and then, you know, and then try to make it back to the blood art. I'm joking, but I mean, obviously, it's, again, it's, you make these decisions and how many times in life do you, you know, you cannot, if you miss the first time ever, you can't ever reclaim that.
Right.
So this was the first time ever. We had it covered because Pierre was going to be there and we had all the, you know, the whole deal. And look, you know, it was a historical blood drive. So there
right.
we go.
But I will tell you, this will be the only time I ever do something like that. I mean, it was, if for some reason it were to happen again next year, I'm not going to go. There's no way I'd go. But it was the first time in the franchise history. And I've been, you know,
the organization
and the organization. Thank you. Since I was a little kid, I've been a fan. So it made sense to go.
But well, next year you'll be at the Flyers.
But you almost missed the flight.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It'd be really awesome.
Yeah, be
almost missed the flight. Dude.
Oh, really?
So I didn't know. I didn't know that on Friday, traffic on the Blue Route starts around noon.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, people like to take early.
Noon?
Yeah, beach traffic.
Two? Noon?
Yeah,
I figured maybe 2-3 o'clock. Okay. Something like that. But it was noon. And I mean,
and you almost missed the flight.
I mean, from Westchester Pike to 95.
Oh, no.
Dead traffic. So fortunately, I had Waze. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I look at Waze and it's like, I'm getting off at Westchester Pike. What? And then it took me through neighborhoods.
Uh-huh.
Casey, I ended up.
Hi, Preston.
Going through all kinds of areas I've never been to before. I ended up down on McDade Boulevard, and then I could get on 95 from there.
Did you end up going past my high school at all? Did you go past O'Hara?
I went by O'Hara, so
did
I ended up on Sproul Road.
You'll be going past Casey's high school.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure if you happened to see the deer that was impaled on the fence.
Was there one?
Yeah.
Another one?
It happens.
Are they committing suicide?
They try and jump the fence into
it. It happens all the time.
Either
the
into or out of the graveyard, the cemetery. Yeah. And by later on, they put a tarp over it. They're like, this thing is a little too heavy for me, so I'm just going to throw a tarp over it.
Honestly, though, if you've ever had deer on a stick, it's great. It's really good.
But so
venison on a stick.
I was the last one to board the plane.
Ugh. Okay,
I was the last one to get on plane.
Oh,
I was, and I meant to write on Twitter. You know, Pierre would have been proud.
That's not you at all.
That's not me at all. And but I made it just barely in time.
Okay.
And that was all good. But I tell you what, when we got I got there in the evening. My buddy Steve picks me up. We go back to their house. Everybody gets their stuff ready because we had a hotel in the city. Went to the hotel. We show up at the hotel at 9 o'clock. There was a 2-hour line just to check in.
Check in the hotel?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were they serving drinks?
No, but we brought them with us.
Yeah.
So we stood in line, and there was an Emo's Pizza within walking distance. So I walked off and got a pizza and brought it back, and we ended up having that. But, it was pandemonium. And St. Louis is not a pedestrian city like Philadelphia, where there's always people walking around.
It's more business district,
isn't
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's not as much living space around there. And so for this to be going on was a total anomaly.
That's why they did it. I think we were surprised they did it on Saturday.
I mean,
because usually you do it during the week. You want to get that yield of everyone who's downtown.
Right.
But I guess they wanted to make, because it was so historical, they wanted people to have the shot of getting in from out. Who otherwise would have been at work and not able to go at all.
Right.
So you met your best friend, Steve, who is a massive, massive hockey and Blues fan.
Yep.
But did you run into anybody that, like,
Just by chance, like, you know,
only John Cougar Mellencamp.
No, no way.
Only, no, John Cougar.
Hey, man, no. What are you doing here? I'm on the radio. I'm a rock star. I know.
No, it was pretty funny, though, because in the hotel where we were staying, we watched the parade go by, and then we had a view of the grounds where the ceremony was taking place. So we were just going to go up on the roof. They had a pool up there and everything. We were going to go watch it from there.
Madame Curie?
And so I get off of the elevator and walking to get on the elevator. This girl goes, "Are you Preston?" And I was... when I hear that, I'm used to a listener saying something like that.
Right.
And so I go, yeah, I'm Preston. How you doing? She goes, "It's Maggie." So it was this girl, Maggie Carhoff, I went to high school
with. Oh, no kidding.
I'm your daughter.
I'm your daughter. No.
You son of a bitch.
So it was really cool to see her. And I'm like, "Hey, this is Steve Lisick right behind you." And she turned around. So we all kind of hugged and had a moment. And I'm like, we're headed up to the roof. She's like, "I'm going up too, so I'll see you up there in a little while." So she came up, and we ended up hanging out.
That's why it's always problematic if someone around, even just around here, because we for radio we get recognized a fair amount.
Yeah.
But I thought you were my uncle,
right?
You know, it's like you can't just assume because radio is the, you know, we're obviously TV is much, as you would imagine, more visual.
Yeah, but tracking down Mike and the guys from Jax was kind of fun.
Was it like...
because he had...
Pokemon Go?
Well, I texted... and by the way, these are the guys from Jackson YB, the whole Gloria thing and the tie-in with the team. I texted him when I got into St. Louis. I'm like, "Hey, dude, you know, I'm here." Because he had texted me before I took off and was like, "Hey, we're meeting at like 1:30 at this bar. You want to come by?" I'm like, "I'm not even getting there till like 8 o'clock tonight." So I got there and I texted him. He's like, "Hey, we're going to this place and the team's going to be there. They have a VIP room or something." And I told my buddy Steve, and he's like, "It's a total 20s bar. It's like a meat market." And I'm like, "I don't know if we want to go there or not." And I got a text back from Mike, and he's like, "Hey, there's like 500 people in line. Just tell them you're with Jax, and they'll let you in." I'm like, "Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to do that." So the next late that night, I get a text from him. It's a picture of him drinking out of the Stanley Cup.
You're like, "Son of a bitch!"
No, I didn't. You know what? I didn't care because I know what a mess it would have been. It would have been me trying to go, "Hey, look at me, let me in, please." And I don't like doing that.
Who are you?
I was really stoked for those guys. I was really excited because it had come full circle for them that they had been a part of this thing from the beginning, and it blew up into this big sensation in that town. And next thing you know, they're hanging with the team and they're drinking out of the Stanley Cup. That's pretty damn cool.
Is the lesson, seize the moment?
Seize the moment.
Seize the moment.
Most definitely.
Carpe City.
And then, so I called him the next morning as we were trying to work our way up through the parade route before it started. And he answered the phone, and it was like his voice was like,
"It's like Stallone."
I'm like, "We had a night last night, right?" Yeah. But I eventually tracked him down. They had met some people from the city that had a flatbed truck set up on the parade route so they'd be raised up. And I went over and said hi to him and hung out for it. They let me climb up on the truck for a couple minutes. I took a cool picture. And then
Then
we got out of there. But they were, you know, they couldn't believe it was all going on. But they're like royalty there now. So
they got to hang with John Hamm.
Yeah. Oh, did they hang with John Hamm?
Yeah, in one of the a series of the photos that they posted on Instagram, which is the Jax.
You could have hung with John Hamm.
The Jax NYB.
From Mad Men.
There's a picture of them with John Hamm. They're drinking out of the cup, and they're hanging with him.
I would have been more excited to hang out with John Hamm.
Yeah, me too.
And to drink from the Stanley Cup.
Or to drink from John Hamm.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. But, I'm happy for those guys, and I'm glad it turned into that big sensation. So, and they also said our sister station was beating up on them pretty good.
Oh, really?
On the air last week, over at the Fanatic.
I think their issue is people... acting as if this was like the Flyers winning the Stanley Cup or whatever.
Okay, well, whatever. Those guys were telling me, dude, their assessment of it all was like, "We're just having fun."
Yep. Yeah.
And that's all there was to
life
it.
Is for the taking.
I'm like, exactly. You know what, folks? You don't have to take this stuff quite so seriously. They're just having fun.
Yep.
They're having a good time. Let them have a good time. The Flyers aren't in the race anymore. Have some fun with the rest. Enjoy some hockey. Hockey's a great sport.
Yeah, put things in context. Now, we do understand occasionally people will kill people for fast food, and that we understand.
Totally.
It ends up in the bizarre file. But honestly, understand what's really important.
They got to squeak a lot more out of this season. You know what I mean? And really, and have just the party of their lives. So it was pretty awesome. So
cool.
I'm happy for them.
Look at that, a record blood drive, and you got to do something you thought you'd never get to do.
Yeah, for those who missed out on the news, we, the Preston and Steve Show, and you, which we couldn't have done it without you and all the people that support it, managed to have the biggest blood drive in the United States. 1,416 pints of blood were taken at the I Believe for Preston and Steve blood drive on Saturday. Amazing. Went way beyond what I thought we'd ever get, Steve. We just kind of... We floated the word out there. Yeah, we want the record, and we never do that. We never, ever, ever do that
because it's all good, and we don't even set a goal for the camp out.
Yeah,
but if this everything bears out, and it seems to be bearing out. In 1 year, we had the largest single sponsored food drive in the country, the Camp Out for Hunger, and the largest single day blood drive in the country.
Can I recap just my week alone, real quick, and that's part
sure.
of it.
All right.
Say, my son graduated from high school on Monday.
Right.
We accepted a national award from the National Association of Broadcasters on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday was my 20th anniversary for my wife and I, Steve's 60th yep. birthday. The Blues won the Stanley Cup. So this yep. is for me personally, you know,
crazy.
In my life, the Blues win the Stanley Cup. I fly out for something I never do, a whirlwind weekend to watch the championship parade. And then we have the largest blood drive in the country on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I know I'm missing
Father's Day.
And it was Father's Day.
Oh, yeah, the kids.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So that's been the week alone.
It's a pretty great week.
I can't believe I survived.
You can
honest.
Retire now.
I went to bed at 7:45 last night.
No, man.
You missed
the U.S. Open.
I know.
Don't worry, dude. All the top three guys were trying to lose for the last nine holes. It was terrible.
Well, ugh. But anyhow, it's a wonder I'm alive. So back to do the radio show and feeling good about it.
Get the whole Preston and Steve Show or the Bizarre Files podcast at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.